Well, hello, team. Welcome to the Stop Making Your Bed podcast. Thank you for taking the time and joining me today. For those of you who are new to the Stop Making Your Bed podcast family, welcome to the messy bed revolution. In this episode, you are going to discover why your to-do list, the thing you do repeatedly, time and time again, might not be helping you to achieve everything you set out to do. I'm going to expose why you are not achieving what you want to and how we can fix it. I will teach you the hacks to unlocking the time opportunities you're missing out on. I use these hacks in my business and my personal life, and I share it with all my clients. You want more time and you need more time to do the things you love and deserve, to get the most out of every minute of every day. Today on the Stop Making Your Bed podcast, we will throw out the rule book and discuss why you should throw out that never-ending to-do list to achieve the most out of your time. I use these hacks in my business and personal life, and I share it with all my clients. You want more time and you need more time to do the things you love and deserve, to get the most out of every minute of every day. Today on the Stop Making Your Bed podcast, we will throw out the rule book and discuss why you should throw out that never-ending to-do list to achieve the most out of your time. Hey team, Michelle here. I'm thrilled you've taken the opportunity to join me today and learn how you can get the most out of every minute of your day without sacrificing the things you love. It's a privilege to share and teach this to you. As you know, this podcast is new, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for giving me a chance and allowing me to spend time with you. My goal with the Stop Making Your Bed podcast is to question everything, taking all of us on an intellectual journey together to discover what works for you. Welcome to the Messy Bed Revolution. It brings me great joy that you are interested in learning about this topic and taking the time to learn how you can get the most out of your day. Collectively, we can create change, and that's frigging awesome. I'm going to teach you two, yes, only two steps to unlock the power of your time. I'll use my personal and professional experience and research techniques, bundling everything up into two easy steps you can immediately implement. This will transform your to-do list from a never-ending list to something that gets done time and time again. Today's episode might make you feel a little uneasy if you live and die by your to-do list like me. I used to have several lists in the notes section of my phone. I would also have a hard copy to-do list on an old school notepad, where I wrote everything down and crossed things off when I was done. I even rewrote that list when it got messy. If you go back a few pages, you will see tasks on that list that have been there for weeks, some of them months. I use several theories in my life to ensure that I'm getting the best I can at every opportunity. One is to do something now your future self will thank you for. Very simple, right? Let me explain. When you're on the toilet and the toilet roll has that last square of paper and you think, nah, it's not completely empty. That square will do for the next person, or that's enough for when I have to go later on in the day. This is the moment when you say no to that little voice in your head and change the damn toilet roll. I guarantee the next time you need to go, you won't think, oh yeah, I need to grab a fresh roll of toilet paper on your way in. No, you'll race in, sit down, and instantly realize your past self has not cared enough to provide you with the toilet paper when you needed it. You become frustrated and disappointed you hadn't done something as simple as change the toilet roll. What does that tell you about how much you care about yourself? It can extend to all areas of life. For example, you could get petrol on the way home. It won't take too long, but, you know, I can't be bothered. Then, in the blink of an eye, you're brushing it off and thinking, I'll do that tomorrow morning. That's a tomorrow problem. Then, in the morning, when you're jumping in the car to begin your commute to work, school, or the gym, wherever you have to be, you realize you need petrol. It had slipped your mind you needed it to get where you're going that morning. You hadn't calculated this step, and now you have to find time to drive to the petrol station, fill up, pay, and then get on with your commute. This additional step will most likely make you late and disrupt your entire morning, leaving you frustrated and behind the eight ball. If only you had done something in that moment you realized the day before that your future self will thank you for. If only you had been on your team putting yourself first. This also means you make the time to book that doctor's appointment you've been avoiding for months, or signing up for that class you've always wanted to take. Do something for yourself that your future self will thank you for. See, I said it was simple. The next theory, well, this too is very simple. It's a pain point for a reason. I'll say that again. It's a pain point in your life for a reason. It's uncomfortable for a reason. It hurts for a reason. It reoccurs for a reason. It's your responsibility to identify the pain points in your life. What isn't working? What's getting in the way of you living your best life? Is it that sore knee you've had for years and have never made time to get looked at by a professional? Is it that door lock that never locks properly and takes several goes each time? How much time do you spend looking for things like your keys or glasses? It sounds innocent, right? No. The time and frustration over and over again is a pain point. It reoccurs for a reason. What if you took the time to create a space where you put all these things? When you put them down, you make a small effort to make sure that they are in that spot. It's a pain point that keeps reoccurring, even if it seems trivial when you think about it. However, creating a solution and doing something in that moment for your future self that you will thank you for will remove a pain point from your life. What about that friend or relative who calls and takes up the time you just don't have? What about the hairdresser you've been seeing for years who no longer does your hair the way you want it? Instead of changing, you continue to show up appointment after appointment, spending your hard-earned money and precious time when you know you'll be disappointed again. Why? Well, you know, you don't want to hurt their feelings. You don't want to seem ungrateful. It might get better. What if I go elsewhere and it gets worse? Well, you never know until you try. If the next hairdresser isn't a fit, try another one. If that doesn't work, guess what? You can try another. You wouldn't go back to the same mechanic where you didn't get the service you wanted. Why are you wasting your time and money? To spare someone's feelings? A professional, I might add, whose job it is to provide you with a service that makes you happy. What about your physical health? Your relationship with alcohol? What about your mental health? It's just as important as your physical health. If it's a pain point, it's your responsibility to identify it and find out how to stop it being a pain point. Do something for yourself now. Identifying when something is a pain point goes against having a to-do list that you write and rewrite day after day, time and time again. I had to take my own advice and admit it was a pain point in my life. It was a pain point because I didn't feel I was achieving anything, never getting on top of things. Every time I looked at that long, never-ending to-do list, it made me feel like I was failing. I know I'm not alone. You felt like this at moments in your life, right? That you're not keeping on top of things, that you're failing. You look around and see that other people are getting it done. Why can't I get it together? You want to know that you are not alone, that you are not failing. Trust me when I say you are not alone and you are not failing. It's your to-do list that's letting you down. So why do we continue to use and love our never-ending lists if tasks have been sitting there for days, weeks, and months. Hell, some could have been there for years. Are these lists helping, or is it just that dopamine high of checking things off our list that keeps us coming back? If you're like me, those unticked items do nothing but create frustration and anxiety. Yet I'm back time and time again, creating new lists with old tasks. Now, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Sometimes I buy new highlighters. You know the pack, it has that rainbow of different colored highlighters, all shiny new, lined up like little colored soldiers in the packet. You just look at them and it brings joy. Picking them up gives that feeling of hope that these little bursts of color will somehow, like magic, make my to-do list finally work for me. I hope that this is the one thing I've been missing. Miraculously, poof, all my frustrations will disappear once I start using these little soldiers. Do you know what really happens? I end up with a drawer full of unused highlighters, a drawer so full and packed with countless colors. There are so many, it looks like a clown threw up in there. Then, in itself, it becomes a pain point. Today, we're going to learn how to turn this process around, finally. Using two simple methods, you can start today to end the to-do list torture. I will teach you the hacks to unlocking the time opportunities you're missing out on. The truth is, it's reasonable to suspect that arranging our tasks externally benefits us psychologically or emotionally, whether through increased dopamine or reduced stress. That said, that doesn't mean we're getting things done, but our obsession is real. Our obsession with notebooks, diaries, sticky notes, organizational apps, labels, and stationery. I could go on, but you get the idea. Well, the obsession is real, so much so that we have created a multi-million dollar organizational industry to satisfy our desire to be organized. But are we any more organized? You tell me. Do you feel more organized? If you're like me and you want to get things done, the satisfaction achieved from crossing items off or delegating tasks is not enough. And the pretty stationery isn't cutting it. It's time to throw out those to-do lists. And today, we are making way for a whole new perspective of tracking what you need to get done. Before we dive into the hacks, let's drill down and talk about what that to-do list actually is. Okay, so I hear you saying, Michelle, it's just a list on a piece of paper. We don't need to analyze it. Okay, I hear you. But we do. The humble to-do list isn't as humble as you think. Let's call it what it really is. It's a de facto measurement of productivity. I'm going to say that again. It's a de facto measurement of productivity. You and I, unbeknown to us, implemented a system where we measure our productivity every single day. I don't know about you, but I've never considered it to be more than just a list. Now I'm seeing it through a different lens and can see that its impact is more significant. If we look through the history of the to-do list, we'll find accounts of famous and influential men who have used lists to achieve great things. For me, this level of information is irrelevant. One, because it's a reminder of how women have been systematically left out of the history books, and two, how women have been held back by centuries through patriarchal control and our opportunities squashed. So I refuse to use the male examples, and I make no apologies for that. Instead, I want to discuss how our brains use, process, and need lists. This is where we uncover the first hack to unlock the time opportunities you're missing out on. An interesting theory is used to explain why we like to make to-do lists. It has to do with something called the Zeigarnik effect. For decades, the Zeigarnik effect was thought to be something like an earworm. You know, when you get that one line of a song stuck in your head? Then it was also thought to be a reminder that pops into our heads continuously until we get it done. The theory now, after further research, is that our unconscious mind politely asks our conscious mind to make a plan. Apparently, our unconscious mind cannot do this alone, so it pokes and prods our conscious mind to make a plan. However, our unconscious mind, like a teacher setting homework, requires us to complete little tasks. It's not enough for the unconscious mind to tell our conscious mind to do something. Just like a teacher wouldn't yell out to their students as they were racing out of the classroom at the end of the day, calling out the homework task, hoping the students would remember. The unconscious mind needs more than a verbal reminder. In fact, a simple note in a notebook isn't enough. Our unconscious mind needs more. It requires specifics like time, place, and opportunity. It needs our conscious mind to first pay attention to the message, then take note of the message. But it also needs specifics to be attached to the message. Once this has been done, our unconscious mind can let out a sigh of relief and toddle off to tackle something else. Can you see what we have just discovered? We have been conditioned to believe that jotting down tasks and ticking them off is the key to success and productivity. This is only part of the equation. Our unconscious mind needs more. Simply writing down on a to-do list is not enough. Our unconscious brain is giving us the messages, and we are only completing part of what's required. Just writing it down isn't enough to ensure we get it done. To satisfy our unconscious mind, we have to set out the homework. We have to be specific and give the task the framework needed to complete it. Our unconscious mind needs more. It requires specifics. First, write down the task. Next, allocate a time when you will complete that task. Then, our unconscious mind would also like us to note the place where we will complete this task. But that's not the end. No. It wants a little more. A little more to ensure we have all of the necessary framework, ensuring it will not just be another task scribbled down on the to-do list. Our unconscious mind wants us to identify any opportunities that might come from completing the task. Now, this may sound more like writing an essay than completing like a simple homework task. But if we break it down with the most simple sort of thing that we all have to do, like doing the laundry, we can see what this framework actually looks like. Okay, so we will write down, do the laundry, on the to-do list. Simple enough, something we've all done numerous times. Instead of leaving it there, we need to build on it. Underneath, do the laundry, we are to write the time when we will do the laundry. Let's say, for this example, 8 p.m. that evening. Next, we allocate the location where we will do the laundry. It can be in the laundry room, you might have to go out to the laundromat, or it could be in the living room in front of the television. For this example, we'll pop down in the living room in front of the television. So far, we have do the laundry at 8 p.m. this evening in the living room. Next, we find the magic ingredient for achieving more, the thing that will have us ticking off tasks on our to-do list quicker than ever before. Identifying opportunities that may come from completing that task. Keeping with the current example, what opportunities can come from doing the laundry at 8 p.m. that evening in the living room? At first glance, you think, Michelle, again, it's just laundry. Stick with me here. How about having clean clothes for the gym? Removing an excuse for not going when you promised yourself you would go. What about having clean clothes ready and waiting as you get dressed in the morning, giving you options of what you want to wear that day? I'm sure you've gone and to get dressed some mornings and what you were planning on wearing didn't quite fit as well as it should because you're a little bloated or the weather isn't what you expected and you need to wear something different. You and I both know having options makes your life so much easier. What about having the kids' clothes ready to go in the morning and having them organized for the whole week? Imagine what stress this would remove from your morning chaos. Or having the sports gear clean and ready to go on the Saturday morning, finding that lost sports socks at 8 p.m. in the living room well before it's urgently needed sounds like an opportunity to me. It also sounds like identifying a pain point in doing something now your future self will thank you for. Let's recap. Task, time, location, opportunity. Before we move forward, I think it's important to acknowledge the unfair burden of domestic labour that often falls upon women's shoulders. Studies have consistently shown us that women take on a disproportionate amount of household chores and childcare responsibilities. This imbalance places additional pressure on us to manage our time efficiently and prioritise self-care. We all too often have too much on our plates, and a well-oiled to-do list isn't going to unburden you if you have an avalanche of shit you must handle. Please know I see you, I hear you, and I acknowledge that nothing is a quick fix. I am hoping, however, that there is something here that might help in some way. For example, making your bed in the morning is an absolutely ridiculous task, and as part of the Stop Making Your Bed podcast family, we are here to discuss alternatives that might just help. Alternatives like task, time, location, and opportunity as alternatives to what we have done in the past. For me, good old to-do lists convey a sense of control. They help me feel like I'm organized, even if everything on the list is yet to be done. But the truth is, they come with limitations. Narrowly focusing on tasks can prevent us from seeing the bigger picture and inhibit creative problem solving, something we now know our brain needs. As I mentioned earlier, my to-do lists are a huge driver for my anxiety. At 42, I was finally diagnosed with ADHD after struggling for decades with the disorder. I discovered I'd been using my to-do list to keep track. It was somewhere I could keep important information when my brain couldn't. However, I treated it as a list of everything that I must get done, and that list never ended, leaving me feeling horrible about myself day in and day out. I had to find an alternative based on research that would help me break this cycle. This never-ending cycle of adding and crossing off tasks can be overwhelming, leading to feelings of inadequacy when tasks go unfinished or postponed. This anxiety-inducing pattern not only hinders our productivity, but it can also impact our mental health and overall well-being. Before I implemented the task, time, location, and opportunity method, there was a time when I vowed to never write another to-do list ever again. And you know what? Those first 6 weeks of to-do list freedom were heaven. Nothing was missed. I felt as if a weight had been lifted, and I thought to myself, yeah, this is living. Then, as life continued to build momentum, at work, with kids, managing the household, family commitments, appointments, and everything else in between, I found myself searching for my crumpled, coffee-stained, dog-eared notebook, and I was right back where I started, in the to-do list loop on repeat. My anxiety was back, but this time I knew I needed to find a better way. There had to be a better way. That's when I started using this first hack: task, time, location, and opportunity. Now it's time for the next crucial element that will have you on the road to success, and it's called time blocking. Time blocking is a way of breaking your day into chunks of time. You look to see where certain tasks are more manageable, or when ones have to be done within a certain time frame, or if you can group certain tasks together. It allows you to assess when you'll have all your energy, focus, and motivation to complete what you need to get done. For me, I know if I don't walk my dogs or go to the gym in the morning, there is no chance in the world that I will do it at the end of the day. If it's not done by 9 a.m., it is not getting done. I also know that I only have a select window of time each morning when I can concentrate on tasks that require focus, like making doctor's appointments or vet appointments. For most people, this can be done at any time of the day, but with my ADHD, I need to ensure I've taken my medication and clearly that it's working, and I can coordinate my calendar then without double booking or forgetting my appointments. Time blocking assigns specific tasks or activities to the blocks you can identify during certain times of the day where you will be at your optimal best. But here's where you can maximize the process. As you identify the tasks to add to the time block, you need to allocate the amount of time you think each task will take. All too often, we overestimate or underestimate the amount of time something will take. If you allocate an hour to do something that will only take 20 minutes, you run the risk of getting distracted, starting something else that isn't a good use of your time in that time block, or wasting that time. Giving each task a set amount of time allows you to focus and get it done. Allocating a task at a set amount of time also allocates your attention. Going back to our task, time, location, and opportunity method, and keeping with the laundry task example, is 8 p.m. the best time for you to get this done? Will you have the energy at the end of the day? And most importantly, how long will it take you to complete this task? What time block would you allocate to get it done? Have you overestimated it or underestimated it, like most of us do? Perhaps you need to break it down into two time blocks. With that, I found it's best to never create large blocks of time to work on just one task. I used to attempt this with my writing. I'd allocate several hours and just put down writing time. What a complete waste that was. Do you think I opened my laptop to a blank page and wrote my next book? No, of course not. Now I allocate a time block, select a writing task, and allocate the time I want to spend writing, researching that task. And that's it. It can be a small paragraph, but never chapters for a book. Identify the time block, select the suitable task for that time block, and allocate the time you will spend on it. That's it. It's that simple. And I can't believe I didn't know this before. However, to cement this whole process, the next and most important step is to schedule it into your calendar. If it sits on paper, there's nothing more. It's nothing more than a new version of your old to-do list. You would have made all that progress and fallen short just as you crossed the finish line. Adding it to your calendar allows you to get a full view of what you're going to tackle. You can set reminders and even share with the necessary people when and where it helps you. Adding it to your calendar makes it official. Stay with me, because there's more. I wasn't just going to leave you with that, even though all of that was pretty awesome. Let's talk about micro-scheduling. This technique can be taken to the extreme, and it is not for everyone. Some people use it to such an extreme that they schedule their loo breaks. Look, if it works for you, absolutely go for it. Most of us cannot sustain that level of commitment or hold on for those bathroom breaks. But we can use it throughout the day at different times to achieve that little bit more. A great example is scheduling your social media scrolling time. How many times a day do you find yourself scrolling on social media? Listen, it happens to the best of us. It's too easy to get lost and distracted by your phone. This is where micro-scheduling can help. On your phone, you can very easily create limits for apps. Set time limits for yourself for the apps that absorb most of your time. I have my social media usage down to 15 minutes per day. That's it. Do you think I pick up my phone throughout the day to check what my great aunt is up to on Facebook? No, I only have 15 minutes. Great Aunt Carol's shared memories from 10 years ago is not worth using my 15 minutes on. Also, I don't reach for my phone when I'm working in a time block. Because when it gets too hard working on something, grabbing my phone is an easy distraction. We're wired as humans to seek pleasure and avoid pain. Sending that email to your boss will not be as pleasurable as watching cute panda TikToks. If I have a limit, I become more aware of how I will use it. Do you know what I save it for? For when I'm on the phone and I'm put on hold, when I'm waiting to pick up the kids, or in the waiting room at the doctor's office. There's always an unexpected time in my day when I can use my 15 minutes. Checking social media is part of my job, so this is my example, and I can do it in 15 minutes. What can you do in these little windows of time? Should you be scrolling on social media, or should you be reading that book for your next book club? Should you make notes for your next doctor's appointment or therapy session? You could write out that grocery list. The point is, there are times in your day when you know you will have a micro window of time, and instead of doom scrolling on your phone, schedule a task instead. It's crucial to remind ourselves that true success and productivity extends beyond a to-do list, even when it's implemented in a way that's working for you. Empowering ourselves involves honoring our personal boundaries, setting realistic goals, and nurturing our physical and mental well-being. Start by setting clear boundaries and saying no when necessary. Avoid overcommitting yourself and focus on tasks and activities that align with your values and goals. Remember, it's okay to prioritize self-care and relaxation, as they are essential for maintaining our mental and emotional well-being. Regularly review and reassess your goals. Keep an open mind and be willing to adjust your plans when necessary. Give yourself permission to explore new opportunities and passions. The journey to success is not a straight path. It's a winding road filled with detours and unexpected turns. Redefining how we approach time management is crucial on our journey towards empowerment and success. As women, we carry the weight of necessity and societal expectations. But we also carry the power to break free from limiting habits. Here on the Stop Making a Bed podcast, let's collectively leave behind the anxiety-inducing to-do lists and embrace time management techniques that will align with our goals, our values, and our individual needs. Remember to prioritize self-care, set boundaries, and constantly reassess your goals. It's time to reclaim our time and unleash our true potential. And it starts with stop making a bed and let's create a messy bed revolution together. Okay, one last thing before I officially end today's episode. If you enjoyed the show or know someone that will find it helpful in their lives, can you please forward it to them? Sharing information with friends, family, work colleagues creates conversations and connections. We can all benefit from being a little bit more connected. And that's what the Stop Making a Bed podcast is all about. I'll see you next week. Cheers. One last thing before you officially turn me off, it's time for the legal information. Please be aware the information and advice provided on this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended to provide legal, professional, or medical advice, and you should not rely on it as such. Always consult with a qualified professional. We also do not accept any responsibility or liability for any actions or decisions you may take based on the information provided on this podcast. Please seek professional advice appropriate to your situation. Thank you again for listening, and I'll see you next week.